first item we need to discuss, and this is a discussion, relates to the Council of Elders nomination procedure. This is also time critical if the Council decides they want to change in any way the current nomination procedure. I did also send you a paper on this, dated the 27th of November, my date. I'll just briefly go through that paper as an introduction. And you might remember that at the ministerial conference, the special ministerial conference that we had in January, that a question came up from the floor about whether we should change the nomination process. And I got up and said I would commit to review it before the next GCE. So this is the opportunity now for the council as a whole to review it. The paper that I sent to you is the result of discussions that took place within the Roles and Rules Committee. But the Roles and Rules Committee has not brought a recommendation forward to you at this point. What they have done is bring forward to you the three options that were presented by various members of the committee. You might remember in the earlier years of UCG, the nomination procedure that was used then resulted in a huge number of names to be considered in the nomination process. And people felt they simply couldn't handle that. So we subsequently changed that so that it required elders who felt they would, who said they would be willing to serve, if nominated, were asked to indicate that at the beginning of the nomination process. That has worked to the extent that it has brought the number of potential nominees back to a manageable proportion. It did have a minor disadvantage in that because of the fewer number of elders in the international area, we were struggling from time to time to get sufficient potential nominees out of the international area. But overall, it seemed to have worked reasonably well. But there have since been reservations raised by members of the GCE about the current nomination process. And I've listed those at the bottom of the page of the report I sent to you. And the concerns raised were these. Many well-qualified elders are reluctant to send in a positive affirmation because they believe it is presumptuous to do so. Most would probably accept nomination if they were nominated by their peers. Now, we felt we weren't asking them to be presumptuous. We felt they weren't putting themselves forward. All they were indicating was if they were nominated, they would be prepared to serve. That, we felt, was a reasonable way to approach it. Another complaint about the current procedure is there's no provision for members of the GCE to nominate other members of the GCE, and that certainly is a case. A third complaint or a third comment that was made was the procedure doesn't comply with biblical examples in similar matters. And the elder that put this proposition forward quoted some scriptures, Acts chapter 1 verses 15 through 26, Acts chapter 6 verses 1 through 7, and Matthew 23:12 and Philippians 2:3. Now the Roles and Rules Committee considered what this input, considered the past performance of the change nomination procedure, and brought up three options that the council could consider if they wanted to change the procedure. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, if you want to change the procedure and have it in place for the 2012 GCE, you need to make a decision at this meeting because, well, I guess we could delay it beyond this meeting, but it certainly would need to be done imminently so that Gerald can have it included in the or make it part of the nomination procedure for the next GCE. So the three possible change options that the Roles and Rules Committee talked about but did not determine in terms of preference was, firstly, to form a nominations committee from members of the General Conference to select a number of men appropriately experienced and qualified to participate at the nomination stage. I have put in brackets there that time constraints would not allow this to be used for the 2012 nominations. That would definitely push the change back 12 months. The second option was to retain the present procedure, but in addition, allow GCE members to nominate elders that they believe are appropriately experienced and qualified to participate at the nomination stage. And of course, I believe that it would be necessary, I think the committee believes, would be necessary that before an elder nominated another elder, that they would get their approval to have their name go forward. Otherwise, we'd be placed in the situation we had before, when names were on that list of people who really didn't want to serve at all. The third option was to replace the present procedure with one where GCE members nominate elders they believe are appropriately experienced and qualified. In other words, this positive affirmation that we use now, where somebody says, if nominated, I am prepared to serve, that would disappear, and we would rely completely on elders nominating other elders at the nomination stage of the election. Now, once again, the approval of the person you wanted to nominate would need to be obtained before you put his name into the nomination process. Now, I've said in the final paragraph or the final sentence of this paper that these options are presented to the council for discussion and hopefully decision. The matter is time critical as the nomination procedure is due to get underway in December. Gerald needs to get things moving as secretary of the GCE. Yes, Gerald.
But Bill, I would point out per the bylaws that if you do decide to change this year, any change has to be approved by the GCE, because the nominating process has to be approved by the General Conference for per 8.1 of the bylaws.
Now, how does that conflict with bylaw 7.5.4, which says the council shall prescribe such other procedures as are reasonably necessary to ensure the integrity of balloting with respect to the nomination and election of elders to the council?
That's the integrity.
Only
the
integrity.
Ensuring the integrity of the balloting process. Here's what 8.1 says. In order to provide direction and oversight for the corporation, a council of elders shall be created. Elders on the council shall be nominated and elected by the General Conference of Elders. A nominating committee of the council shall prescribe the process whereby such nominations are made, which process shall be approved by the General Conference by a simple majority.
But we are in default of that bylaw already. Mm-hmm. We have never had a nomination committee, in my knowledge.
The next point I was going to make, this yes. is, Bob always said, we need to have committees listed in the bylaws. And I would say, we have a committee listed in the bylaws, and we've never had it.
Yeah. Well, if Gerald is correct in his interpretation, then I'm not going to dispute that he is not correct.
I don't interpret the council.
Okay. Which means that we still need to make a decision if we are to put before the General Conference in 2012 a change in the procedure. But it does mean that any change that we wish to put before them would not be effective until 2013. Darius and then John.
And it appears that this whatever change we put forward must come from a nominating committee.
It appears, but it's always been roles and rules. Yeah. Roles committee or rules committee or roles and rules.
So this council could appoint the roles and rules committee as the nominating committee?
Yes,
it could, if it wished.
Yes.
Yes, John.
Just a little bit of clarification here, if you could. At the end of option 2 and option 3, it says prior approval of the potential nominee. That might read better by the potential nominee rather than a third party.
Yeah, okay.
And then secondly, in option 3, would an individual have the option to put his own name forward under option 3, or would it only be where other members would nominate them?
Option 2 would give him the freedom to put his name in, to indicate he was willing to serve if nominated. Option 3 would not.
Okay.
That's why we say he really needs to be spoken to first before he is recommended as a nominee. Yeah. Well, they're the three options, gentlemen. Obviously, from what Gerald has said, we do need to attend to the fact that the council has not really followed through on that bylaw of having a nominating committee to consider any changes to the nomination process. It may well be that it's your will and your wish to remand that role to Roles and Rules Committee, which is the one that's been looking after this in any case. And maybe that's the first thing that we need to do here. And then we can automatically move on to these three options. You can discuss those. Yes, John, again?
I would be in favor of doing that, because the GCE really needs that assistance at this point, and it could always be reviewed later on if a change were needed. But this would move it forward to where something like option two could come before the GCE at this year's conference?
Well, I think option one, two, or three can come before us now.
Right.
And be then presented to the GCE if there is a preference for change, or the council thinks that a change could or should be made.
Not to belabor it, but how, I don't have this in front of me, but how long does this process take generally from the time somebody is nominated to the time that they have, or somebody wants to contact a person and get their approval? Is it 15 days, 30 days?
I'm not sure of the exact time, Gerald. It's almost in the care of the Secretary of the GCE
when
the nomination process begins, isn't it?
Yeah, why I'm asking is, if you approve this, this could actually go out on the ballot to the GCE next week in a special election and be back by the middle of January. And then, so long as the information comes back, the election and the nominations come back by middle of March, we might still be able to do it this year.
Okay.
That's for you to consider.
Gerald, usually 30 days for consideration, right?
Oh, 30 days we have to have for the election, for the ballot. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Does anybody have any comment on the options? Option one was to form a nominations committee of the General Conference to select a number of men they felt were appropriately experienced and qualified to participate. Bob, this was under your name. Would you like to speak to it?
Now, I've always believed that if we are fully supportive of the Church, of UCG, and all that we stand for, that we should all be willing, if possible, to serve in wherever is required, which meant the Council as well. And therefore, I think as long as it's made very clear to the members of the Church that that position is possible, that is to say, the willingness to serve, that you're willing to serve, you leave your name then, stand. If you can't serve, if you're not willing to serve, for whatever reason, can be health, can be distance, can be things like that, that you would then take your name from that list. I'm a little concerned that if we rely on the nominations of others, then you begin to enter the arena of being selective for people you know very well or whatever, whereas if it's more general and broad, I think you'll have more people involved. And to me, it's never been presumptuous to just let your name stand. I mean, that's our duty, I think, as members of the ministry. It's our duty to be available for whatever the Church asks of us. And if it is to serve on the council, if we're capable and able to, or believe that we are, our name should simply stand. Then it's up to the rest of the GCE to say yes or no to your name, and that's fine. But I've always felt that is the healthier spiritual, well, spiritual isn't right necessarily, but just the healthier way to go as far as just each individual is concerned.
What I'm reading from that, Bob, is that you don't think we should change, because right at the moment, every elder has the opportunity to indicate that if nominated, he is prepared to stand.
Yeah, but I don't think it's clearly understood by the minister, because as our note here says, that some things it's presumptuous to let my name stand, it's presumptuous. Mm-hmm. And it is not. It is a duty, I believe. It's a duty to let your name stand. If you feel you can, at the time, family constraints, distance, health, all those things are factors. But if you believe you can help the Church in any way, you should let your name stand.
So subject to some clarification of the existing policy, mm-hmm. you would tend to leave it as it is?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
John?
I would suggest two things. One is that somebody would motion that we would fulfill 8.1 in the bylaws of forming a committee of the council so that we are in concert with our bylaws, and two, that committee then would put forward these three things for us to discuss. Would that be the proper way for it to be done?
Well, I was going to recommend, as we discussed a few moments ago, to the council that the Roles and Rules Committee be given the role also of the Nominations Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in that case, it's already done the work.
Oh.
In presenting the options here.
Right.
But in terms of sequence, chronological sequence, yes, we do need to do that. But I thought I'd go through the options.
Start there and then...
Yeah. I thought we'd go through the options and then come back to that.
Okay.
Roy, option two was yours. Would you like to talk to him?
Yeah. I felt that we should continue with what we're doing, but also have the option of nominating. That you could do both. In other words, you'd allow your name to stand if you're willing to serve. But there may be a few people who'd be willing, I mean, who could serve, but are reluctant to put their name forward. But if somebody else did, that they would then have their names added. So I was proposing we do both. Yeah. So that's why I came up with that.
Robin? I second where Roy is at. I appreciate what Bob said about being a part of ECG and et cetera, but I think experience has shown over the years that some people don't even know their name is on there. And there are just certain, while we have a very qualified ministry, there are people that serve very well at the GCE level, but because perhaps of health or just even perhaps because of busyness or age, and then because of that business, they don't even know that they're on, and then it just reverses the process. So I frankly, at this point, appreciate where we're at, much less if we need to add the additional aspects of somebody being nominated. I think it's been working well the last couple of years.
Cool. Gary?
I just would like to ask a question. Have we ever had an instance where anybody's name has been on there that they've been elected and they've refused to take the job? Because I see problems with telling people, if you want to be on the council, please put your name in. I don't see as much of a problem with saying, we're going to list the names. If you don't want your name there, please tell us. I think that's a better way to go, plus the nomination process. Mm-hmm. So I like kind of Roy's thing, but I don't like us to say, if you want to be on the council, please list your name.
Well, what you're saying is, let's go back to the way it was originally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, except we make it clear, if you don't want your name on here, please take it off. Because I'm not aware of any time that somebody who's had his name on there,
I can tell you one.
Yeah.
There has been one where he's been elected.
There was a case where a man who forgot to take his name off the list, right? And if you didn't take your name off the list, right, you were considered then as a potential nominee.
Was he
forgot to take his name off the list, and he reached the final nomination stage. He was on the ballot for
and
election.
He didn't know he was too late.
Gerald, then Robin.
There's someone else who did that, didn't take their name off, got nominated, and the ballot had already gone out, called me and take my name off, and I said, I can't. It's already out. And this person knew all along, just didn't think that he had a chance of being nominated.
So it has been a real problem. That wasn't aware of.
Yes, there have been at least two instances that one Gerald knows of, one on Mario, and then Robin. Sorry.
Yeah, 2 points. The first is these nominating committees. There's a concern about conflict of interest. If you always have a group that's the one that sort of recommends who to do so. I'm concerned about the conflict of interest.
It's option one, okay.
Right, yeah. And that would take place. The second thing is, why don't we just solve the problem that Gary brought up, that it's still available to everybody, and to have the opportunity for a person to remove himself from the list, but also have a second opportunity, that once the nomination comes in, if somebody says to Gerald, well, I forgot, that there would be a space available for that person to say, well, now I was nominated, I'm not interested, and to be able to remove it. And that way, those that finally end up being balloted on would be the people that would be willing to serve.
I see two negatives to that. One, it's going to add to the length of the nomination process. And secondly, we're still going to get a great list of elders who are potential nominees, which was the reason it was changed in the first place. Now, Gerald, you might have a comment on the the extra time it would take us. We're putting an extra step into the process if we do as Mario suggests. In other words, you publish all the nominees or those who haven't removed their names, and then it goes back again to each of those who are still on the list to say, do you really want to be on the list?
No, that's not what I meant.
What you're saying?
We're all of us haven't gone through this. You know, we're notified that we're a council nominee.
Right.
So it's not like something's happening immediately. People can get to a place and say, oh, what's happened? What have I done? And you're not available. And I, you know, if somehow, number one, if I can, real quickly, it's like where Gary was saying, I don't think everybody, go from Bob to Gary, that we should all be willing to be on, but we might not be willing because of age or this or that. But then in Gary's comment, just where the attitude is right, people will say, I will keep my name on because I want to be available. I don't necessarily want to be on the council, but maybe God has other ideas for me, or maybe other people would I would help. So I'm going to keep my name available, and I'll see where the process goes. Now, let's say that same person then, who didn't want to be on the council but kept his name available, he was on that smaller list, all of a sudden you get this note from Gerald, you have been seen, we've all had it, you be prepared, you'll be getting this form, etc. That is where the person should either stand up or sit down right there. And then if they say, oh, you know, I didn't know it was going to go this far or something's happened in between, then we go to the next number down. That I don't, would that take that long in that week, Gerald? I mean, this is real life situation. I mean, if somebody calls me and say, hey, Gerald, you know, thank you, it's a real honor, but I don't think I can, I just talked to my wife and just don't think we can do it this time with the church load or this or that. Call Gerald. Doesn't it just go down to the next individual?
No.
Oh.
Gerald has to write to everybody on the list.
I have to write to everybody.
Yeah, but you write singularly.
That would be so hard, Robin, if there's 150 people that got left on. I've got to write 150 notes. And the same people that didn't respond in the first place because they didn't read their emails are going to be the same people that don't read this email either. So they're going to be on it. I just know how that goes. There's a lot of the people, a lot of the elders, that just don't look at their email. So it's going to be the same problem. And then they come up, I don't want to be on this.
Yeah, it would recreate the situation that caused the change in the first place. You'd have a list of, as Gerald said, potentially 150 domestic elders, CUS elders. Mm-hmm. Roy and then John?
Well, if I'm going to ballot for someone, I really want to know that they're willing to stand for the council. I don't want to ballot for someone. And part of the problem is if you have someone who is selected and then he withdraws his name, and maybe he had 50 people ballot for him, they would have balloted for somebody else. And so that, to me, that creates another problem. That's why I think if a person says, yes, I'm willing to keep my name on, or somebody else nominates him and he goes ahead and accepts it, you know that those individuals are willing to serve. And there are a lot of people, as you mentioned, because of health, distance, jobs, and so on, simply aren't able to serve.
John?
Just from an international perspective also, it would be easy for a person not from this country to go all the way and be approved, but that person not be able to get a visa to come to the United States. And it may be more helpful for those who really can serve to have their names put forward or in some ways mention their own approval of that rather than it just be able to somehow get all the way to the end, be approved, they're good, but they can't ever come. What would we do in that case?
Yeah, that would be a possibility. In the past, for example, people from the Philippines
or Kenya
had great difficulty in getting visas to come to the GCE. Mm-hmm. Here they'd be wanting a visa to come to at least 4 meetings each year. Gary?
My concern is we're trying to do something that prevents a problem. At the same time, are we hindering the number of people who could serve but are humble and don't feel like they want to put their name, say, yes, I want to put my name forth? Are we causing a stumbling block to them to put their name forth? Are we losing good men because these men are humble? They don't want to say, I want to be on, put my name on, I want to be a nominee for the, which is the present process, correct? They have to say, yes. We don't list the names and say, here are the names of all the people that are on here. If you don't want to be on, you should take your name off. And then if they do take their name off, they can still be nominated to be on. That would be what I would see better. But rather than saying, if you want to be on the council, if you feel you could serve, put your name forth. That, I almost didn't put my name in this last time. I was only lobbied by Bill Cowan to please put my name in. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. He said, please, you sent me, I don't know, I mean, he even sent me the nomination form. Please put your name in, whatever. I almost didn't. Now, Gerald can tell you, it was almost the last day. I almost didn't do it, simply because I was just tired of the processes and I wasn't sure I even wanted to serve at that time. But he convinced me I should try to put my name forth, and I did. That was a nominee type thing. Well, but I'm concerned that we're trying to circumvent a problem or prevent a problem from occurring, and are we then losing men who have this sense of humility? I don't want to put my name out there, you know, myself. I don't want to volunteer for it.
Well, with respect to your argument, if Roy's option was adopted, Bill Cowan would have nominated you. Mm-hmm. Now, when the list of potential nominees comes out, nobody has any indication of whether they were nominated by another person, by another elder, or whether they simply said, if I'm nominated, I'm prepared to serve. There will be no distinction on the list itself.
But the individuals will know they've been nominated because you would have to contact them.
That's right. They would know.
Yeah.
They would know. Yeah. You have your hand up, John? Well, just nodding sagely.
You just made my point.
Okay. Yes.
My concern is, in the present process, the internationals have been reduced in number, and I certainly don't want to see where four people are the ones that you have the whole pool to choose from. How can we circumvent that? I think what Gary has said weighs very heavily on that, and we have some very fine men, but they just don't have the personality to think they're chosen in that sense, and they feel it's a bit presumptuous. Either we educate people to the point where they don't feel that way, or we have to face reality and realize everything's going to have a problem, but I would rather have a larger pool of men than a very reduced pool because of this issue that Gary has brought up.
Bill, I suppose the problem is the feeling that a person is being presumptuous, not because you're saying you want to be on the council. To me, you're saying you want to serve God in whatever capacity. And we should be willing, if we're in the ministry, we should be willing to do that. We have. I mean, we've given up jobs, careers, positions, families, whatever we've done to serve God. And I think that's an attitude of mind that we can present the ministry with, because they've already shown that they want to serve God. And that's what we're doing in the church. We're not saying, I want to be on the council, I think I can really add to the council, and so on and so forth. I think we're simply saying, others can decide that, but I'll let my name stand. If there's any way I can help, then let me know. So it isn't a matter of being presumptuous, but I can understand that people feel that way. And I also understand that sometimes if you've already been on there, had your fingers burned or whatever, you'd want to say, hey, I want a few years off. Well, that's fine too, you know. Then you take your name. You don't have to put your name forward. There's reasons why you'd say, at this moment, I wouldn't want my name out there. You've got family situations. Your health can change. You know, various things like that.
Well, the way to address what you're saying there, Bob, is to go to option three and follow the normal nomination election process that is undertaken in any other organization. And that is, everybody makes themselves available. They don't withdraw their name, but they are only placed on the nomination list if they are nominated by another elder, and then only with their prior approval. John?
Option two and three speak in part to some of the challenges we have internationally. For instance, Mario knows ministers that we don't. Earl Romer knows ministers in the Philippines that we don't. I know ministers in Kenya, and you're not going to know those, but I could work with those that I serve and find out who could get visas, and then discuss with them, are you willing to serve, and then work out some of those logistics before nominating them, and we could actually get more internationals on there through the nomination process than we'll ever get for them to put their own names on, or run the risk of automatically putting their names on and then them not being able to serve after they've been selected. So I think there's wisdom, especially in point two, by which the current stands, plus you have this option of being able to nominate people who others don't know about. And that would also be in the United States, where we have many local elders, individuals in East Texas, for instance, that very capable, but Don Ward would be able to go to them, wouldn't you be able to serve, and put their name forward. We get more guys on that list if we were able to nominate them, which we can't do right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we could take a bit of a straw poll on four options, not the three you've got in front of you. First option for these three would be to revert to the original nomination process, where everybody's name was left on the list unless they specifically instructed us to take it off. Would anybody feel we should go back to that original nomination process? Gerald does.
No, I'm not a member of the council, but I'm
reasonable. You want to say something? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not a member of the council, but that's what I support. I always have.
I like that with the option of also being able to be nominated, somebody to put their name forth if they have removed it themselves.
Yeah, that's the number two option.
So, Bill, you're talking about how we did it last year. If you go on to your name, you can scratch your name off. That list will go off. That somebody like Gary and Roy, the Roy Amendment, Gary Amendment, is somebody could be nominated on by somebody else.
No, I'm saying we go back to the way it was right from the beginning. I think right from the beginning.
Yeah, and that was the original option, but just that one thing. Yeah. Your name was automatically on there unless you removed it.
And that's when we had more than 150 names on the USA list, for example.
Yeah.
That's
and
one.
I like that.
Gary likes that. Okay. Option two. Not by number on this paper, but the second one you could consider would be to form a nominations committee from members of the General Conference, and they would come together as a committee each year, and they would in fact nominate elders they felt would be qualified to serve. Okay. No. Okay. No. Okay.
Wow.
Another one we could consider would be where we retain the present procedure. In other words, people are asked to make a positive affirmation. If nominated, they are prepared to serve. We're not asking these people to nominate themselves. We're just saying, if somebody nominates me, I'm prepared to serve. Is that plus the opportunity, as Roy has put forward, that Denny could also nominate an elder to serve to be selected or to be on the nomination list, okay? So somebody puts his name in and says, if nominated, I'm prepared to serve, and in addition to that, an elder could nominate another elder, okay, to make up the final
list. With his permission.
With his permission, yeah. Prior permission.
Yeah.
And the third one is to simply put it into a straight nomination process, a standard nomination process, where the only elders who appear on the nomination list are those who are nominated by another elder, again, with their prior approval. So we've got one in favour of going back to, or two in favour of going back to the original. No?
No.
Okay. Gary?
I am.
The three of us.
Where everybody is considered, unless they take their name off,
which it's clear if you cannot serve, if you cannot serve, if you choose not to serve, please take your name off the list.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple of, at the moment, three at the moment.
Four.
Tending that way. Who's the fourth?
Don, Gary, myself, and Mary.
I didn't see Don's hand.
I'm okay with that too, but that one.
I'm okay, but apparently the other one.
Okay. The second one that you can think about is.
Could I ask one question that affects my thinking? You have that nomination process, and we're talking about, and there are really some specific areas in the international area, but you mentioned like East Texas, which is not international. But, you know, we're talking about Mario, or we're talking about John over in Kenya, and or take their names out, anybody else. Do people start nominating all the quote unquote? Do they just start nominating people? I mean, how many nominations can you put in as one elder to nominate people? In other words, because then things can kind of, you know, one person nominates 15 people that didn't have their name on, but they put 50. What is it? Yeah, Don?
They're willing to serve.
Mine is just, if you not, it doesn't include nominations. It's just you've got your name on the list, and if you don't take it off, it's there. Not an additional nomination. I think this nomination thing lends itself to a lot of politics, favoritism, good old boy, that kind of thing. I just want to clarify. I didn't know if that.
Okay, I'm just because it kind of, I think
what you were just saying, nomination, you're there unless you take it.
That's what I said.
No additional addendum to it.
My point was, as I said, initially it's a kind thought, and perhaps nominate somebody that would not keep themselves on the list or wouldn't put themselves on a list. But then I was just curious, just do we start nominating, you know, we're nominating this person, and one person's nominating five or six people. So we're just, okay. Yes.
You can place a limitation on
that. Very reasonable. That would have to be a very reasonable limitation in my book.
Bill, both the original and what we have presently require action, on the part of the individual. The original, the action was, if you don't take your name off, you're on there.
That's no action.
Well, it's no action, but it's,
what is that?
They're allowing their name to stand. The other is they're saying, no, I don't want to be on there, or you're put me on there. So they're taking an action step there. Both of them come up with a list, and then from there you proceed. I think somehow we have not clearly explained to the GCE that this isn't a matter of vanity or pride. In essence, the same result comes from both. You just have a bigger list with one than the other.
Mario, then Harris, and then Aaron.
The more I think about it, I would like to retain all of the members to have an option to be nominated if they leave their names, as it's brought out. But with the condition, Gerald said, suppose, okay, we usually have how many nominees that come out? Is it 12?
The system? 150?
Yeah, but they're 12.
Nine domestic.
Right,
three
nine domestic and three. And at that time, can we add this condition that those men are subject to accepting going forward? And when Gerald notifies them, you've been selected as one of these 12, and are you willing to go forward? Doesn't take a lot of paperwork or time, but if the person realizes that's the case, and if not, then the 13th or the 14th, because it's still, all of these have been nominated, and we do that with everything else. So if a person says, well, I had a heart attack last month, I can't go ahead with it, it would not be forcing the person. But then the next one in line, so those 12 that appear, we know are willing to do so, they're healthy enough to do so, and then to go forward.
Gerald, are you nodding? That was actually my question to you a half an hour ago. I wasn't in the original. That was my question. That's the level. Because I appreciate the other is a lot of work. That was my question to you at that level.
But But if I could answer for Gerald, there is no line. You've simply got a whole batch of men who have been nominated. If one of the 12 decides he doesn't want to be a part of the election process, there's nobody else to go to. Mm-hmm. You just go back and...
The next member.
There's nobody next in line. There is not a sequence that emerges from a nomination process.
Could we put a supplement?
There is. The number. Bill, doesn't whoever the official tally, they know how many.
Well, I would have that.
He would have who was ever the next person down the line.
If you had 100 people,
there's 13
first nine for domestic. If one of those didn't want to, you'd go to number 10. That was chosen out of the 150 domestic. If I'm understanding what Robert is saying.
Could you manage that?
Yeah.
You could?
Yes, I could.
Okay, I'll let the rules be out.
Okay. Just listening, my comment is that option number two that Roy put forward to me seems to come closest to what the spirit of Act 6, where they chose out from among themselves, and then the apostles made final decision. This option requires action up front from any member of the general conference to put their name forward. I think that to stand for this body, a person should think about it and make an action to put their name forward, understanding the commitment and what is there. And then it allows for the other elders to seek out from among the others and put forth other names, whether national or international, and then the entire body to make the decision.
Well, does that mean that you think Matthias put his name forward to be one of the 12 apostles?
I'm talking about Acts 6.
Well, they said seek out among
them. That was a case of Lot's, yeah. And that was very strictly limited to men who had been there with Jesus.
But they still selected a number of men.
And then they selected them from the people. They didn't. Those seven men didn't put their names forward.
I'm talking about Acts 6. He's referred to Acts 1.
Acts 6 says...
No, Gary, he's referring to Acts 1.
I'm referring to Acts 6.
He's referring to Acts 1.
But even that, they sought from among them men. Specific men. They sought
Acts
from among
them. But don't confuse Acts 1 and Acts 6.
I'm not.
But I mean, after reading Acts 6, they searched out among them seven men of honest report. They didn't ask, will seven men of honest report please put your name forth? That was a different matter.
I'm saying with the addition of the elders being able to nominate men, it does satisfy that, while at the same time retains the option that we're working with several years for the men to think it through and put it forward. We're coming up with the best we can.
Yeah, I don't have a dog in this race, so I don't vote anymore, but... The one thing with what Robin and Mario want, the problem is, if I did this once, I nominated, if you limit the nominations, and you nominate a couple people, and then all of a sudden later they decide after it's in, they don't get to it. My votes have been eliminated. I didn't really have a say in the election anymore because I would have picked other people. I would prefer you pick somebody from the GCE or a couple of people. All the men who has names are in there, that they would call them and say, your name's on the list, before you... the nomination, your name's on the list, are you able to serve? Because when they had 150 names in there, I knew at least a half a dozen of them that could not serve even if they wanted to for health reasons, etc. And it just gummed up the list with tons of names. Mm-hmm. And not this body, no pressure, someone from GC called each person and said, you're on the nominating list, are you able to serve? For health reasons or whatever, and just go through the list, you know, someone who's retired or something. And then we'd get a list of people who are able to serve, and they wouldn't pull their name off. Because that's been done before, where people pulled their name off, and those of you who nominated them, if you only had one or two nominations you could give, and you picked a couple people, and they went off, you're really not part of the election anymore.
Gary, I wonder whether option three really fits in with Act 6. Option three is where elders nominate other elders. In other words, they are seeking out those who will serve. Now, admittedly, it's only getting them to a nomination stage, but it is, in principle, I think, getting it closer to Act 6 to anything else we've got here.
My response to that would be, by having a pool of men, a lot of men, they're still being sought out by the people who select them as individuals they think would be outstanding for the council. Provided those men have been told, if you leave your name here, it means you're fully ready to stand. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that? I mean, we could call them all up and say, are you sure? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we wrote to them. If they you know, that negligent, then probably they won't be on anyway. But I don't know. I think that if you have this pool, they're still being selected by the individuals who put their names forth. And then that comes down to who the final nominees would be. So I'm just concerned, and I'm happy either way, but I'm just concerned that we are losing a number of good men who are humble, too humble to put their names forth, and they think that's being presumptuous.
If they are allowed to be nominated by others,
they still may not do it.
Well, but then that's right. But they would be given the opportunity to say, "No, I don't want to." Yes, Don.
Well, I think there's a difference in humility and not putting your name forth, because you don't put your name forth, it's not really a sign that you are humble, though you may say, "I'm too humble to do it." Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Humility is not having to do with putting names forth.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Sean and then Gerald.
Sorry.
As all of us are also members of the GCE, when we receive whatever initial list of names, we often fast about this. This is important. We go through and we're considering names. I think in Acts chapter 6, what we see is a very rational thought process that's going on of individuals really being considered. And if we just get a list of people who have not been qualified, at least with a phone call to say, "Are you willing to serve?" We're fasting and praying sort of blind, aren't we? We don't even know if all the individuals on this list can serve or would be willing to serve or could show up if they were chosen. Shouldn't we at least vet the list to take all the names and have some contact with them, to where when the GCE receives a list, it is really solid names that we can fast and pray over and take to God and then be selecting names from?
It's option two. Really?
Or even a version of one has been raised, at least where the individuals have in some ways been vetted first, rather than just kind of praying and fasting and then guessing blind and not really knowing if the individual's available or willing.
Gerald?
I pass.
Okay. I'm tempted to call Elmo here.
Yes.
But I don't know where to move Elmo on to.
With regard to what John is saying, you send out a letter and you provide all the information regarding, if you let your name stand, you are ready, able, willing to serve on the council. And then, however large that list is, you're not going to blindly fast and pray. You select from that list. I don't see the difference. What is the difference between that and who's going to do the final vetting for you? Is someone else going to do the vetting for you? Or are you going to vet each one? We vet each one individually, don't we? We don't depend on someone else vetting before you say, "I am going to place my nomination or my vote for this person."
Well, we're in a state of flux here to some degree. There are so many different opinions around the table.
The simplest thing
is to go back to what we originally agreed to. And every year before the GCE, educate the GCE as to their responsibilities. You know, some of the men overlook looking at the email, drop your name off if you're not really interested or able. Maybe we could improve that system of educating men who really don't want to be on the list and do a vetting that way, you know, because every year before the GCE. So everybody's names put forward, but the council or Gerald could be sending out this information constantly, reminding everyone. That'd be the simplest thing to do.
Just read on that. I just asked a question. Are we reacting to an anomaly of the last 2 to 3 years? Because last year, Denny made a very big plea in January, and we got more names to speak to educating men. In that moment, it did bring forth more. The year before, there were a low number of names. We were in the midst of a developing crisis in the ministry, and even the year before that. So I'm just wondering if we're reacting to an anomaly, and without doing anything drastic, can we just do an education program and take a measured approach to this rather than trying to get some big solution right now? I think we are reacting to an anomaly.
That's possible. Yeah.
To a point, perhaps, but I think that right from the time we changed the procedure, there were complaints or there were comments, negative comments that came back from members of the GCE, particularly about the well-qualified elders being reluctant to put their name forward. Okay, and most recently, the elder who used scriptural justification for his negative comments, that hasn't been raised before. I don't think that would have been as a result of recent circumstances, but there is an element of it, Darius, yes. Yeah.
If we're talking about the same one, the scriptural, I think that would bear some discussion.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, as I read that, I didn't agree with his rationale.
Yeah, but that wasn't a reaction to recent events.
No, it was a measured input, but yeah. I think it bears discussion.
Yes, that's fine.
Well, mine isn't a reactionary comment because for 15 years, I've felt this way because I nominated a couple of people who were well qualified, they weren't too old. They left their name on the list, but they were not employed. Then I found out later they could not do the job and keep their job. And so I voted for a couple of people. So after that, I started calling people and say, can you do it? They're on the list. But I had to ask, can you do it? Because I threw out my votes, and so therefore I didn't have any votes that year because I voted for people who wouldn't serve if they would have been on. And most of them used the excuse of, I knew I wouldn't be nominated, so I just left my name and didn't worry about it. That's why I suggested calling each one and saying, would you serve if you were nominated? Then when the nomination, then you check yes, no, and all the ones that are yes, all those names go out. You don't take anybody out. All the names go out except for the ones who did say no, I can't do it. That eliminates any. So that way you get a list of nominees that have already said they are able to serve. I just want to eliminate the fluff in the list of people that won't serve or can't serve.
So are you supporting option two?
I like option one if you call everybody before you send the nominee list out. So that the name, they come in that week before, you have some local elder, why somebody call each elder and say, you didn't remove yourself, you're on the list, are you able to serve? Because that way the nominee list, anyone on there you pick, could serve if they were elected.
Well, let me try and bring it to an end if I can. I'll put a recommendation before you, not because I personally favor it, but because I think we've got to get somewhere. I would recommend that we go back to the system that was originally employed, whereby all elders were eligible to be nominated unless they specifically took their name off. Added to that, as Denny suggested, an education program at the beginning of the nomination process to explain to people exactly how this works and what they were committing to if they leave their name in.
Melvin explains that. He said, did Denny explain it as well?
No, that I did that.
It would come from either Melbourne and or Gerald. Gerald's secretary of the GCE, Melbourne.
I just thought it was a technical thing.
Yeah. One comment before we talk about it.
Just so you know, there'll be a few of us that'll have a difficult position of having to encourage our members of our ministry reluctantly to take their names off. For the simple fact that they're not allowed into the United States. They cannot get a visa. Mm-hmm. And so every year we'll have to go to them and say, it's kind of hard to do, but would you mind taking your name off or remember to take your name off? Or, otherwise that would not come up.
It would be a good reason to go to them in the fact that they...
Well, it would have to be done.
Exactly.
Well,
last comment.
That was supposed to be the last comment. So I was going to say, though, but even if that were the case, the decision still needs to be made by the rest of the GCE whether a person, we ourselves would make a decision whether a person can serve. Even geographically, we would do that, I think. In other words, it still is a decision to be made by the GCE to select a person. You wouldn't select somebody who lives in the middle of the Sahara Desert and had to travel by 1,000 miles by foot to get to the ocean, even if his name was there. You wouldn't select him. splitting.
Well, the recommendation before you is that we go back, we revert to the original nomination process that was instituted at the beginning of the United Church of God, an international association. All those who would be, am I putting a resolution? I don't think we need a resolution, do we?
Basic question. You're going to have to go to the GCE.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
You're just putting that forward. Where does Royce fit into it?
Royce doesn't.
This is the recommendation.
Okay.
It doesn't. There is no opportunity within this recommendation for an elder to nominate another elder. It comes back entirely to whether an elder leaves his name on the list or removes it. That's how it was at the beginning.
Did you see it change it, or did we change it?
Council changed.
We changed it.
The council changed.
We changed.
But it had to be approved by the GCE.
Look,
and
it
was.
Without approval now.
No, I'm just, if we can get a decision here, we can then go to the GCE mm-hmm. with this recommendation.
That was done in 2007.
Yeah. Can I see who would be in support of that? Is it a straw poll at this stage? Six. Those who are not in support of that? Five and one absent. The recommendation, in fact, is carried. So do I now need to move it? No?
Has to have seven.
Oh, seven, yeah.
Didn't carry.
So did you vote, Bill?
It failed, I did.
You did.
Yeah, so that fails.
Could we consider another option?
I put that recommendation before the council to consider. I didn't recommend it personally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that the only one we're going to consider?
What was the show of hands?
Seven.
Six, five.
But one gone.
Yeah. One is not here.
Yeah. You need seven.
The majority of the council, which would be seven.
You have to have seven positive votes.
Well, I'll give you another opportunity to consider option two, which was to retain the present procedure, but in addition allow GCE members to nominate elders they believe are appropriately experienced and qualified to participate at the nomination stage after getting prior approval of the potential nominee to have their name go forward. Can I see who would be in favour of that?
May I ask a question before then?
Yeah.
Why didn't that carry?
No.
You have to have six voted for it.
But if you have one absent.
No, it has to be seven of the entire council.
On what?
Seven positive.
I know we have passed a lot of things that were.
Not while I was secretary.
Oh, yeah.
except for amendments, which can be done by four. Amendments can be approved.
I mean, you can conduct business with a quorum of eight.
Yes.
You need seven.
But you still have to have eight for two-thirds. Eight for two-thirds, or seven for a majority of the entire council. That's what.
So if we have a quorum of only eight, we have to have seven votes for it?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, in fact, we worked on that together back. You and Vic, we all worked on that together to make sure that was cleared up.
Didn't we run into that house? California.
Yes, we did.
We spent that whole day.
Can I see who would be in favor of option two that I read out? Those who are not in favor.
Could you read
the option two? We didn't get out in favor.
What was that? Not in favor of two.
Retain the present procedure, but in addition, allow GCE members to nominate elders they believe are appropriately experienced and qualified to participate in the process.
If you're a one, you can't be for two.
Bill, would you mind stating the present position along with that?
The present position is that elders are required to remove to indicate positively that they are prepared to be nominated.
That's right.
That's right. Now this one is we retain that procedure, but in addition, we allow GCE members to nominate another elder. Who would be in favour of that?
You're calling for a vote now.
I'm just asking for a straw poll.
This is option two.
Is that two now?
That's option two. Yours. Okay, we just have six for that, so that doesn't pass. the way I'm feeling at the moment, gentlemen, with time passing, is that we leave the system as it is at the present time because we can't move forward. We don't have a sufficient number in favour of either of the two most preferred options. John?
If we leave it as it is, we would not get the benefit of being able to add more people. Is there any chance that we would recognize that option two is an improvement over what we have by the fact that more people could be included by others nominating? Any discussion about that? Or
we've been discussing that all along.
This wouldn't stop you from calling somebody before the due date saying, I'd like you to put your own name in. Please put your own name in.
Right.
You wouldn't stop that. You can do what Roy's asking. That's by calling people and saying, please put your name in.
Okay.
You just can't put it in.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I recommend that we leave the procedure as it is. But we do need to move on to the second aspect of this, which we are in contravention of our own bylaws in that we don't have a nomination committee. And I recommend to the council that they delegate to the Roles and Rules Committee the additional function of acting as a nomination committee for elections to the General Conference of Elders.
Seconded.
In favour?
What is this?
The Roles and Rules Committee becomes a nomination committee.
Thank you,
Bill. Okay, I'm next up. I think I need a rest. Yeah. I'm next up, but I need a rest.
Taking a break. Do we need a break? Do you need a break?
No,
I'm alright for a little while. Did you want to cover the next one then?
No, really, but I will.
You want to leave it for a couple of years?
No, that's okay. This is the next item on the list, which is the election of a deputy chairman. You'll remember that at the last meeting, the council had decided they would formalise the appointment of a deputy chairman. They felt that it would facilitate the operation of the council. But it will be necessary to have that before to be able to appoint a deputy chairman to make an adjustment, have an additional bylaw included in our bylaws. And I have it in front of you. I decided to print this one off because you might need to look at it and read the statement of justification as we go through. It will be a new bylaw, 8.2.2, deputy chairman. I would point out also that this has been to the amendment committee and they have signed off on this one, even though it's not necessary for the council to put it to them. We did as a fail-safe. At the time of the appointment of its chairman, the council shall also elect a deputy chairman for the same term or remaining term as the chairman. The incumbent chairman is not eligible to also serve as a deputy chairman. The deputy chairman will serve as chairman in the event that the incumbent chairman is unable or unwilling to fulfil his responsibilities at any time during his term of office. If the incumbent chairman is unable or unwilling to consent to the deputy chairman serving as chairman, the council may, on a two-thirds majority ballot, authorise the deputy chairman to serve in that office. Unless blocked by a two-thirds ballot of the council, once the incumbent chairman declares himself unable to resume his duties as chairman, the deputy chairman will return control of that office to the incumbent chairman. If the office of deputy chairman is or becomes vacant at any time, the council shall elect one of its number to fill the vacancy for the current term of office remaining. The provisions of Article 8.2.1, Office of the Chairman of the Council, shall apply in all respects and without exception to the position of deputy chairman, including the procedure for election and or replacement. The statement of justification for that is this. It is common practice for a board of directors or governing council to have an official deputy chairman. From time to time, individual members are appointed to temporarily serve as UCGIO Council of Elders Chairman, and although due process is followed, there is no provision in the bylaws for the appointment of a deputy chairman to assume the responsibilities of chairman when the incumbent is unavailable. There are many potential occasions when a deputy chairman might be called upon to serve. Apart from the chairman's council-related administrative duties, there are four regular meetings held each year, and it is not uncommon for specific purpose meetings and teleconferences to be scheduled. Additionally, the chairman always has responsibilities beyond the chairmanship. Previous chairmen have had necessary absences for various reasons, and the present chairman quite often needs to be out of the United States attending to international responsibilities. This means they are unavoidably unavailable from time to time. The official deputy chairman will only take the chair in the event that the incumbent chairman is unable or unwilling to serve. Some reasons for this situation arising may be: other responsibilities are deemed more urgent or of greater priority. Due to illness, he has to temporarily leave a meeting to attend to other matters. He is presenting a proposal, and the council considers the discussion should be independently chaired while he does so. He needs to absent himself when he has a real or potential conflict of interest in the matter being discussed, and there may be other reasons, of course. The Council of Elders believes that having an official deputy chairman will improve its operations and recommends the adoption of the proposed additional bylaw. So that's on the table now for discussion, and then we will need to ballot whether it's approved to be placed on the agenda for the 2012 annual meeting of the General Conference. I might add that not only was the Amendment Committee involved in this, but Gerald Seelig, as Secretary of the Corporation and the GCE, also was a part author of this bylaw. Bob, you have a comment?
Yeah, Bill, just a sort of a question, but I don't quite understand the unwilling to serve. That's a little bit of a red flag for me. If he's unable, all his points are unable, but unwilling is a little different.
I might defer to the Secretary to answer that.
And Larry as well, but because we both have chimed in on this. We actually have it already in the bylaws with the Secretary in case the Secretary is unwilling, unable, and unwilling or unwilling to serve in a capacity of notifying or something. The Chairman can then step in, or any four members of the Council can step in, and that is if someone just refuses to do something, is basically what that unwilling means. That would be where that comes from. Larry, anything else? Right.
He would not be willing to fulfill the duties of his office for whatever reason.
Yeah.
This is common in a lot of legislatures where they have this deputy, whatever.
Yes, without going into individual examples, I understand from discussion with others that there has been at least one occasion where an incumbent chairman was unwilling to serve at that particular time. I don't have the details. That's just been passed on to me. I might mention that the Amendment Committee also raised this question of whether we should have in there unable or unwilling to serve, and that's when I referred back to Gerald and to Larry, and they both came back strongly in support of including that wording in this proposed additional bylaw.
But it covers all bases that way, just in case.
Yeah. If there is no further discussion, I would move that the Council of Elders approves the placement of this proposed additional bylaw on the agenda for the 2012 annual meeting of the General Conference of Elders.
I second.
Motion and a second.
Take a vote on?
Yes. Just call for it.
Yeah, okay. Can we take a vote on it then? Those are in favour of putting it on the agenda.
Unanimous.
Unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to have a lie down.
You deserve it.
It makes sense.